الأفاق المعمل لسلاح معاشرات فقه شريدة طريقة مجموعة مدني مذاكرة
هي مجموعة مدني مذاكرة
مذاكرة. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Booklet Ziyad Durood O Salam, page number 3. Saying of the Holy Prophet, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, the one who sends Durood upon me once, Allah Almighty showers 10 mercies upon him. And the one who sends Durood upon me 10 times, Allah Almighty showers 100 mercies upon him. And the one who sends Durood upon me 100 times, Allah Almighty inscribes between both his eyes that he is free from hypocrisy and fire of hell. And on the day of judgment, he Almighty will keep him with martyrs. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Alhamdulillah, tonight is the sixth night of the blessed month of Rabiul Awwal 1441 Hijri. In the Global Madani Markaz Faizan-e Madina, devotees of Miladun Nabi are gathered in large number. Madani Muzakira is being conducted. Please ask questions. It's not necessary that I reply every question and that too correctly. If possible, I will try to reply. If you find me making mistake, rectify me straight away. You won't find me beating around the bush or sticking to my opinion unnecessarily. Instead, you'll find me grateful to you whilst rectifying myself. Insha'Allah Azza wa Jal. Sallu ala al-Habib. Sallallahu ala Muhammad.
My question in the court of Amir Ahl Sunnat is that by putting a lemon in one's pocket, home, drawer or anywhere, does a person stay safe from magic, etc.?
Lemon in the house does not let jinnat come in the house, the evil ones. This is a saying of the pious people. Sallu ala al-Habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad.
I had another question. Say, for example, if you're going for Jumu'ah Salah and Adhan has already been called, and on your way, can you go to cash machine to take money out while going for Salah? Will such act be permissible or not? Please guide.
Straight after the first Adhan, it is wajib to start making efforts to go for the Jumu'ah Salah and buying and purchasing, etc. All those things that are contrary to making efforts, it is wajib to leave all such actions. So as far as drawing money out of ATM is concerned, that can't be done either. Yes, whilst going for the Jum'ah Salah, after Azan's been called out.
Alhamdulillah, we are present in front of the place of birth of Prophet of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam. This is the place where Prophet of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam was born. Devotees of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, they are present here. Yes, Sayyidi, they want to ask that whether have you been to this place or not. If yes, then what was your condition at that moment? And we are present in Makkatul Mukarrama and we had this wish that we also raise few slogans regarding the birth of Prophet of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam. Let's all join together. Sarkar ki amad marhaba, aqa ki amad marhaba, maula ki amad marhaba, malja ki amad marhaba, huzur ki amad marhaba, aqa e attar ki amad marhaba.
MashaAllah. Congratulations to you for visiting the blessed place of birth. Well, my way, I presented myself walking on my feet. Walking on my head is beyond me. Otherwise, I would have done that too. So, it's an esteemed place, a focal point, and one should behold it. It's an honor. Du'as are accepted in its proximity. It's because all those places that have been proven to be visited by the Holy Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, that place is called Mashhad, i.e. a place to present yourself. So dua is accepted at all those places that have been proven to be visited by him. In the blessed place of birth, he alayhi salatu wasalam first came there in this world. So this is an accepted place, place to make dua at. May Allah Almighty shower its blessings upon you and also enable us to behold it again and again. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad.
Imran Sheikh from social media, when you say to someone or advise that this is not allowed or it's not a good word, then he replies, okay, we'll see in the hereafter. Is it okay to reply like this?
We'll see after dying or whatever happens. It's fearlessness, extreme fearlessness. If a person is actually stopping him from a sin and he says that I'll see whatever happens after dying, it's very dangerous. One shouldn't say this, he should repent.
My question is that when a person performs any sort of invocation for any kind of purpose, then how can he attain the pleasure of Allah Almighty because a person is invoking it for the sake of his purpose?
In Minhajul Abidin, that's translated in Urdu, on page number 445, it is stated that some mashayikh, rahimahumullahu ta'ala ajma'in, were asked that various awliya Allah, rahimahumullah, have the habit that in the days of poverty and destitution, they recite Surah Waqiyah. From this, is their intention not that may Allah remove their poverty through this and give prosperity to them? In relation to their sustenance, give blessings in it, is seeking this world through an action of the hereafter, okay? As reciting Surah Waqiyah is from the actions of the hereafter, now acquiring the wealth of this world through its recitation, is it fine? This was the question. So the answer given by some of the mashayikh regarding it, its summary is that Awliya-i-Karam rahimahumullahu salam's intention and desire through it would be that may Allah Almighty bless them with contentment and may Allah Almighty bless them with enough sustenance that they keep worshipping Allah Almighty and they gain the energy to keep teaching and preaching others. And this kind of intention is a pious one. It's not to gain this world. So we should understand that at the time of poverty, at the time of destitution, reciting Surah Waqiyah in order to become prosperous, in order to become affluent, and to have financial stability and opulence and blessings in your sustenance and risk, is narrated by the beloved Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam himself and his beloved companions alayhim ridwan, to the extent that Sayyidina ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu donated all his wealth in the way of Allah at the time of his demise and did not leave anything for his children. So when he was scolded over this action of his, then he replied, I'm departing whilst leaving behind Surah Waqiyah for my children. So in terms of clarification that how this action would become an action of the hereafter has been clarified in this. So if someone recites Surah Waqiyah only to accumulate worldly wealth, to increase his bank balances, and does not make any other good intentions for reciting Surah Waqiyah, then definitely this action is of this world. So he sought this world through an action of the hereafter. However, As for it is associated with the noble saints over here, it refers to the fact that these individuals would recite Surah Waqia, so by reciting it, they attain contentment from Allah Almighty even on little sustenance. The heart gets satisfied, and the greed of excessive wealth does not stay in their hearts. And they attain enough sustenance due to which they could worship Allah Almighty. If you have no money at all, then what will you eat? If one doesn't eat, then how would he worship? He won't be able to worship or even offer salah wholeheartedly. How weak we fall whilst fasting in the evening time, isn't it? So anyhow, if a person is hungry, then how will he worship wholeheartedly? So earning enough so that stomach gets full, body gets covered, and we have a shelter over our heads. We're not dependent upon anyone. Don't need to spread our hands. Don't need to beg others. Rather, one should have such kind of arrangements for his livelihood that his needs are met and doesn't accumulate piles of wealth, bank balances, etc., as is the case with us normally nowadays. As in, the more wealth we have, higher the element of greed increases in us. All what we want is more and more. And then at times, a thief comes and steals everything. So they recited it for the reason that they acquire enough sustenance to fill their stomachs, so they gain strength to worship, so that they're tension-free. Otherwise, they'll keep thinking about money, thinking that, what will my household eat? What will my children and wife wear? So in this stress, he won't worship wholeheartedly. So just to get something to survive on, they would recite it. And those who invite towards goodness, deliver theirs and teach, they also have strength with them, so that they can teach other people as well. This, we're talking about the time when there were those teachers who used to teach Islam and the Quran, made people memorize it. They didn't used to take salary for it. They would do so for Allah's pleasure. The salary that is now taken for it is now permissible, but wasn't back then. The scholars, they issued a fatwa, a verdict over it while staying within the bounds of Sharia, that it's allowed, hence salaries taken for it. So that's the time we're talking about. So if they don't even take money for it, then where will they eat from? So may Allah provide such a means of sustenance that we carry out doing the work of deen and keep worshipping Allah Almighty. With this intention, if someone carries out an action of the hereafter, that's apparently for this world, then in reality, this action of his is also an action of the hereafter. It's not purely for this world. وَاللَّهُ تَعَالَىٰ أَعْلَمُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَعْلَمُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ تَعَالَىٰ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمُ صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد.
As you were talking about contentment, I just remembered one account of a saint. I really like that. Well, it is said with regards to a known saint of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, he truly righted. Actually, he was mentioning about pious saints of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, that we had few saints in the past who would migrate from that city where prices of commodities would rise due to inflation, and they would migrate to that city where it was economical to live and they could buy things on low prices. Because the area and place where it is cheaper to live, then definitely there the stress of earning is also low. So they would migrate from expensive city towards that city which was less expensive, so that they could focus on worship. As mashallah, Amir of Ahl al-Sunnah has just said, that made me recall one intention of Imam Ghazali alayhi rahmah from amongst many intentions which he has mentioned about earning. One of the intentions he makes, I will earn rizqi halal to provide my family, and once I'm done with this responsibility, I will then have proper concentration and focus towards worship of Allah.
Ameen.
We received a question on social media. Can you please tell us any wazifa which may bring blessings in our sustenance, increase income, and also help to pay off debts?
When he gets blessings in his sustenance, when he gets money, then he may also repay his debt. The problem is that, despite getting so much wealth, people still don't repay their debts. They think to themselves that, let me earn a bit more. Then they repay in small installments and bother their creditor. So one shouldn't do this, one should repay the debt straight away. Therefore, it's stated in Faizan-e-Ramadan, page number 323. that one companion, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, said, Ya Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, the world has turned its back on me. He, alayhi salatu wa salam, replied that, Do you not remember the tasbih, that the tasbih of the angels and the creation, by the blessings of which sustenance is given? When the morning dawns, then recite this tasbih 100 times. Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi, Subhanallahi al-azimi, Astaghfirullah. This world will come to you disgraced. That person left. After some time, he came back and said, Ya Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, this world came to me in such abundance that I'm surprised, as in where to keep it. Ala Hazrat states, as much as possible, this tasbih shall be invoked at the time when morning dawns. Otherwise, before morning. If the jama'at for the salah has been established, then join the jama'at and complete the count later. And the day you were not able to do so even before the salah, then no worries. On that day, you may recite the same tasbih before the sunrise. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad.
My name is Nadeem Athari. I am calling from Oman. My question to you is that how shall we remember Allah Almighty, that upon His remembrance, we start shedding tears? Jazakallah.
Allah. May Allah Almighty soften our hearts. Our hearts have become very hard. We have gathered so many means to harden our hearts that do not let our hearts become soft at all. Until and unless our hearts do not become soft, how would we find self-mortification in ourselves? In one way, you can say that self-mortification has been taken away. You hardly find it. So, make sure to earn only halal and eat only halal. Avoid doubtful things and refrain from that earning which is doubtful. Although it's very difficult to refrain from it, but a person should try as much as possible. Useless speech also hardens the heart. Who refrains from it nowadays? Laughing without a need also hardens the heart. We don't refrain from it either. Eating without hunger also hardens the heart. We don't refrain from it either. Then every sin is a means for the hardness of the heart. May Allah Almighty just make us pious. Once He makes us pious through His mercy, He'll also provide us humility and submissiveness. Our hearts will become soft and our eyes will shed tears. All this will happen.
My question in your court is that if a person is surrounded by calamities from all around and there are no means of the problem getting resolved either, then what shall one do in this situation? I request that you please supplicate for me that may Allah Almighty ease all my difficulties.
A person should supplicate in the court of Allah Almighty. There are many invocations for it. You can find them in Madani Treasure of Blessings as well. So perform these invocations, be steadfast on Salah, and especially supplicate straight after Salah as it is accepted then. Supplication is also especially accepted straight after Fard.
My question in the court of Amir of Ahl Sunnah is that besides the Holy Prophet ﷺ, which other prophets are there that are superior than the other prophets?
In this regard, after the beloved Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat Sayyiduna Ibrahim ala nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wa salam is superior. Out of all the prophets, that's his rank. After him is Sayyiduna Musa Kalimullah ala nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wa salam. Then it's Sayyiduna Isa Ruhullah ala nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wa salam. And after him is Hazrat Sayyiduna Nuh ala Nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wa salam. These are the five prophets. Ulul Azm, prophets. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad.
This is Shahnawaz asking question from Dawat Islami's page. He is asking that, can women join Dawat Islami?
This brother perhaps doesn't even know. I have said several times that we don't have any system to count. It is very difficult to determine whether more Islamic brothers are associated with Dawat Islami or Islamic sisters. Hundreds and thousands of Islamic sisters are associated with Dawat Islami. And they have numerous gatherings. Countless. They have proper 8 Madani works, just like Islamic brothers have 12 Madani works. Like, there are 72 Madani in'amat for Islamic brothers. Similarly, there are 63 Madani in'amat for Islamic sisters. They so much. They also have Madrasatul Madina and Jamiatul Madina for Islamic sisters, where scholar course known as Dars-e-Nizami is also conducted. Sharia course, Salah course, there's so many courses for Islamic sisters. Alhamdulillah. This brother must be new. He would be unaware of it. So you too, try to inquire and find out about the female members of your family and associate them with the Madani environment of Dawat-e-Islami. Alhamdulillah, with the mercy of Allah, there's a lot of work in Islamic sisters too.
We're also getting questions through text messages. We received a message. My auntie and his son-in-law, they're going to Umrah. Now the question is that, can my mother travel with them for Umrah? Please reply.
His auntie's son-in-law, isn't it? He has no blood relation with his mother. The issue is not of Umrah. Umrah and Hajj are different things and a travel is a different thing. The actual issue is of travel, not Hajj or Umrah. For example, if there's a woman who actually lives in Makkah, then she doesn't need a mahram. She can perform Umrah and also Hajj on her own. So female living in Makkah doesn't need a mahram. All rites are performed nearby. Arafat, Mina, Muzdalifah, all are nearby. It doesn't become a shar'i travel. And for mother-in-law and son-in-law, if there is no risk between them, then from the perspective of Hurmat-e-Musaharat, he is her mahram. Now if his auntie and her son-in-law are going, he is her son-in-law. Then it's permissible provided that there is no risk between them. So in this, there is a condition imposed to go with a mahram, the one whom you are mentally satisfied with. Meaning that if he's careless, transgressor and a sinner, in this case even if he's her son, even then she cannot travel with him. Meaning if he's bold, fearless and a transgressor, a person with ill character, who may compromise on his mother or sister, then you can't travel with him. Or if there's such a minor child, who himself is immature, meaning that he won't be able to look after her, then he's not satisfactory either. So she can't travel with him either. So a mahram should be reliable. So this issue is not of Hajj, it is of travel. It's not of Umrah, it's of travel. Like if you go to Hyderabad from Karachi, then it's around 170 odd kilometers. So it becomes a shar'i travel and a mahram will be wajib in it. A woman can't travel this journey alone. She'll become a sinner if she does so. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad.
My name is Muhammad Waseem Qadri from Salkot, Pakistan. I run a shop, and out of my daily sales, I donate 1% in the path of Allah Almighty. Please guide me on the fact that what places can I spend this money in? Can I donate it to my poor relatives? Can this amount be donated to masajid, madaris, etc.? Please guide me in this regard.
Meaning he spends in the path of Allah Almighty. So yes, obviously, you can spend in the path of Allah Almighty in all the pious actions. You can give it in a masjid, you can give niyaz, you can give it to any needy or poor person. It's nafl sadaqah. It shouldn't be zakah, it should be nafl sadaqah. And in case it's accumulated so much that an entire year is passed, then since you've had the possession of it, then you'll also have to take out zakat on this accumulated amount. If nothing was spent out of it and it kept getting accumulated. If conditions of zakat are met, then zakat will be due on him. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad.
My name is Farhan Attari and I'm calling from Balochistan, Pakistan. My question is that at what instances should one smile? Could you please clarify this for us?
Subhanallah. Mufti Sahib is saying that one instance for smiling is right now by listening to this question of yours. Subhanallah. This question has given the gift of smile to many people over here. Free of charge. Not reciting brothers are also smiling. Head of Shura is also smiling. Subhanallah. There are no fixed timings for smiling. However, there are some instances where smiling isn't appropriate. For example, you're condoling someone. You've gone to a funeral, then smiling there isn't appropriate. Similarly, if there's a serious patient and there is sadness all around, then you shouldn't smile at that time either. Rather, at such instances, one should have the signs of sadness, signs of grief apparent on his face, and he should not lie either. Similarly, have to avoid smiling in Salah as well. If one did smile in Salah, then it will not invalidate the Salah, provided that he knows the definition of smiling as well. Smiling will not invalidate Salah. However, laughing will break it. The definition of laughing is that one laughs so loud that he can hear himself. His laughing voice doesn't reach other people, just to himself. And if a person laughs so loud that other people can also hear him, then this is laughing out loud. So if a baligh, meaning a mature person, laughs out loud in a salah in which prostration is done, then his wudu will also break.
One should normally smile.
No, one shouldn't smile during salah. If he did so coincidentally...
No, I'm talking about outside salah. As you mentioned a few occasions, somebody has written somewhere that it becomes very hard for a person to know that other person has teeth or not, because he doesn't smile at all, and one cannot see his teeth, so it is all said about such people. I read one post, and that was viral, that had a very interesting sentence. It was written that, heart for sale. Heart for sale, with price tag.
Heart
yes.
For sale.
Heart for sale. I read the price. Do you know what was written on the price tag? Yeah, the price was written, just one smile.
Subhanallah. Yes, a person's heart does get sold over a smile. A person's heart does get inclined with it.
Heart is like a door, and smiling is just like knocking at the door. If you keep on knocking, the door will surely open one day. But there are some people that don't smile. At a time, the situation is surely to smile, but they don't smile at all. Yeah, it is observed they don't smile at all. How can they learn to smile? Well, should people be paid to smile? Should they be given presents to smile? Yes, Sayyidi, please, you guide us. How can one develop habit of smiling?
Open up a shop for them.
Shop?
Yes, shop. They will smile to get customers. Then they will learn. If they'll have a face made up, then no customer will come close to them. So this way he'll have to smile. So he'll learn this way. Let him be on the shop for a good couple of years. And when he learns how to smile, then use him in the Madani activities of Dawat-e-Islami. It's possible they still don't smile, as they would perhaps be used to smiling just for the sake of money. You know, laughing without a reason, it actually hardens the heart. That's how harmful it is.
Yes, Sayyidi, is there any difference between laughing and smiling?
Smiling is something else. Smiling actually resurrects dead hearts.
Mashallah, but I would like to make a point that a person who is sitting alone in a room, he will not smile, or he will sit in a room and just keep on smiling. It doesn't happen, or if it does happen, then people will label him with something else. Actually, you smile when you go to someone, when you meet with somebody, when you greet with them. So then it becomes an occasion. Because of your smile, other person will become happy. Your smiling face will refresh him. And yes, I think those people who are guide, who are mentor, people follow them. I think it is more appropriate and important for them to smile. They are kind of role models for people who follow them and look upon them. I think they should develop more of this habit.
The leader that smiles less, lesser people will gather around him. And the leader who smiles more, more people will be with him. Take it this way.
May Allah enable us to smile.
May Allah grant it. No, really, there are some people, like nowadays people queue up to meet. And it's an old experience. As in, I actually do smile by looking at them, but some don't even smile then. As in, they don't even smile back at the reply. That okay, let's not smile in the beginning, but they don't smile in the reply either. They just have a face made up and leave.
Maybe they have a mindset that we should smile in front of our Shaykh.
It's not necessary that they all are disciples. Not all of them, but there are such people as well. They don't smile. They've sworn an oath or something that we'll just not smile.
I think it is also possible. Some people may have this mindset that smiling is a symbol of non-seriousness. So when you present yourself
smiling
in the court of your Shaykh, your guide, then you have to be serious, respectful, and for this you need to be serious and keep your mouth closed, very quiet. Maybe that's why they don't smile.
Smiling is sunnah.
Yes, it's sunnah, definitely.
It is proven to smile in abundance, abundantly. There are such sayings of the Holy Companions that whenever we saw him, he smiled.
Jarir bin Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala, it is hadith of Bukhari, which you've just mentioned. Whenever he saw him smiling.
My question is that if a person has the feelings of another person, then can he share the hurt feelings of his with someone, or would this be considered as tale-telling?
Someone hurt the feelings, and that person hurt the feelings of the other person without any reason, i.e. he did something against Sharia, then he'll be a sinner. He had this fault, this defect inside him. Now, mentioning this to someone else without a need will be backbiting. Now, if he couldn't explain him or reform him himself, and he mentioned it to his father or his teacher, or any such sort of important person, saying that he's hurt my feelings, please explain him, or let me have my right, and he's capable of doing so, then there's nothing wrong in telling him with this intention. Similarly, if the matter is such that you had to go to the police station, so when you file your case, even then you'll have to mention that he has done this to me. So you can mention, in case of a need, those instances where Sharia permits, you can mention there. Although it is backbiting, but it is not a sinful one. It's the permissible one. Otherwise, we normally just mention these things to take our frustration out. Just to mention it as an evil of the other person, that he's like this, he's done this to me, etc. This is backbiting. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad.
Hey, Majmu'a Madani Muzakira.